We're turning in the scriptures, please, to Philippians chapter 4. Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, the fourth chapter. It's a section at the end of the chapter we want to read together. We're going to begin at verse 10 of the portion. Philippians chapter 4, the 10th verse. And let us hear the word of God to our hearts today. The scriptures tell us, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." And we know the Lord will follow with his blessing today this, the public reading of his word. We're turning together to Philippians chapter 4. Thank Mr. Campbell for the kind words of welcome. It's always a joy to fellowship with you here in Kilkeel. We're very thankful to the Reverend Patterson for the invitation to come along to conduct the service this Sabbath morning. We thank you for your prayers. The Lord certainly has been good and gracious to us. The doctors are very well pleased with my progress, keeping very well. Very encouraged that the Lord still has a work for us to do. It underlines for us and for us all the importance of making our days count for the Lord, count in his service. Thankful for the continued opportunities we get to write messages for the press. We had a message yesterday again in the newsletter. We value your prayers for those. We've just this week had another little gospel tract printed from one of those messages that has gone in the paper. How did Patrick become a saint, directed particularly to the Roman Catholic community? We pray, or we value your prayers that the Lord might use that tract. The minister's week of prayer during the past week was a special time. It was very well attended, very well supported. Times of blessing. The men knew great liberty, both in the preaching and in the times of praying, and all that were there profited much from it. We want, on behalf of the mission board, to thank you and Kilcaill for your ongoing support. We know that you have a great missionary vision among your congregation. We're especially thankful to you for the use of your facilities, for our mission board office. We know that you also grant some facilities for storage of books and so on. So we do appreciate that. We want to acknowledge that to your session and committee and to you as a congregation as a whole, that as a board, we appreciate very much the use of the facilities here, really as the headquarters of our missionary operation. Our sister Margaret Russell had a fall at the beginning of the week, and she injured her left shoulder. It's the second such fall that she's had in recent weeks. The last time she injured her right shoulder. The only difference this time that she fractured the left shoulder, and they had to fly her down to Nairobi at the beginning of the week in an air ambulance. And she underwent surgery early on Friday morning to have a plate put into that shoulder to give it some support. She is recovering well. Miss Noreen McAfee travelled up from Uganda just to be with Margaret in Nairobi to give her some support and help. Her sister Valerie is planning to fly out. Valerie's a nurse. She's planning to fly out at the end of the week, at least for 2 weeks, just to be with Margaret to give her some help and support on behalf of the family. Noreen's planning to return then down to Uganda. The school recommences in Uganda at the beginning of February. This is their two-month holiday, like the summer holidays here, July and August, only they have it in December and January. So she has a lot of preparations to make for the recommencement of the new school year. Our sister Joy, just this weekend, got the news that her work visa has been granted again, only this time just for 6 months. Previously it was for a year. Just recently, the Nepalese authorities expelled over 120 Chinese people from the country. They had a business visa to be operating a hotel. It was just cover for them to be in the country. They weren't actually operating the hotel, and when the authorities found that out, they expelled them. So as a result of that, they've been tightening up on the granting of the visas and said that they wouldn't be giving out visas for a year at this particular time. So Joy's pleased to get the six-month visa. She had been concerned they might only have granted a three-month visa. So we're thankful for the Lord's hand on that. Continue to remember her sister. Remember the English language school. It's important that it is profitable, shows to be profitable to the authorities there. So what that means is she needs a lot more people to come in to that English language school. Keep in mind the school in Uganda, 362 children we had at the school last year. Think of the great potential to bring the gospel to those children, to bring the gospel to their homes, to that community, to influence all of those young lives. We do need labourers. You're aware that the Millers had to return home because of Mr. Miller's health, so that leaves a vacancy. They're in the work in Uganda. Pray with us. The Lord will raise up others to go and pray the same for Kenya. Miss Russell, after some 37 years, is planning to retire in May of this year, so that will leave a great vacancy, great need there also. In the school in Uganda, the work is going on. We're encouraged by the progress that is being made. The electric is being installed. You just think of what life would be like without electric. And remember that they live on the equator, so that means it gets dark about 6:30 to 7 every night. So the evenings are always dark. There's no such thing as long summer evenings. So having the electric will be such a help, make such a difference to them. The electric has been installed at the school, but the whole school will need rewired so that the wiring there is suitable to take the mains electric. Our brother Kyle Wenlock from the Macrafell Church has undertaken that project, and it's quite a large project. You think of rewiring an entire school. So Richard Foster from
the Kilskerry Church. He's assisting Kyle. They were out at the end of November, gave direction. All the preparatory work that needs to be done, our brother Mr. Foster has at least a month's work to prepare for the team that will be going out, God willing, at the end of next month to do the rewiring, a small team that our brother Mr. Wenlock is putting together. So we ask your prayers for that, and that the finance as well will come in to help cover quite the extensive cost of that work also. The Fosters will be coming home on furlough. They're due home at the end of the summer. We have given our brother Mr. Foster a list of priority building work we'd like carried out before he comes home. We're conscious there'll be 8 or 9 months then when there'll be very little work actually done on the ground. The Reverend Stripp came home from India this past week. He will be commencing deputation, coming round the churches very soon. The Reverend Patterson came home just before Christmas, commenced his deputation work during the past week. So keep all of these brethren, their families, in your prayers too as they travel so many journeys. The Reverend Graham went back to Australia just before Christmas after his furlough. Pray he settles in. The Lord will give them tokens for good there in South Australia. The Reverend Hall is due home March, April of this year. The Reverend Gardner then at the end of the year, November, December, going into January as well. So there's quite a bit taking place in the missionary cause. One matter for praise is the registration that we have obtained in Kenya. From the very beginning, we've been praying for registration. For many years, there was nothing opening up in that regard. There's a young man that has come to work with us, Patrice Sakali. We got to know Patrice through Dr. John McKnight, who's a very good friend of the Reverend Greer's. Mr. Greer got to know Dr. McKnight in North America. He has been doing pastors' conferences in Kenya for about 20 years. We have shared some of those conferences in recent years. That's how we came to know Patrice. He had studied at the Bible College of East Africa in Nairobi, and he remembered that one of his lecturers a number of years ago had obtained registration, but had never actually established any churches. And when contact was made with him, he was willing to sign that over to the Free Presbyterian Mission Society Africa. So all of the office bearers of that have now been changed. The name we hope to change in due course. We can't make too many changes to it too quickly. The Glory Bible Church sounds a wee bit like the Billy Bray wing of the Free Presbyterian Church. Remember, he was the man that loved to shout glory. But we're very encouraged about that registration. We've already 4 churches that are under the oversight of the Glory Bible Church Committee. The work in Naporo, where Gillian laboured for many years. We've started a new work in Kakamega, and our brother Patrice is responsible for that work. The work in Bakeke, that's just outside Katale, where the Reverend Harris was for many years. And then quite recently, a work up in Tintana, that's near Kapanguria, where Margaret has lived for most of her time in Kenya. So that's a cause for praise. There's great doors of opportunity that are opening to us, but we do need others to come and labour with us. So we know that you have a great interest in Kenya, East Africa, especially through our brother George's involvement for many years in the missionary cause of the church. So please take these matters very much upon your hearts in prayer. The verse 19 of this 4th chapter of Philippians 4 we want to consider together this morning. Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Just a wee word of prayer as we come to the scriptures. Father, thank you for enabling us to be here today. Thank you for health and strength. Thank you, Father, for the time that you've given to us here upon this earth. We pray, Father, that you'll help us to redeem the time, enable us to devote our days in thy service. I want to thank you, Father, for every opening that you've given to us as a denomination to spread the gospel across the earth. We bring all these needs before thee, especially, Father, the need of laborers. And our prayer is, send forth laborers into the harvest field. Bless us around the word. We want to ask, Father, that you'll give us a special, a precious time around the scriptures today. Give us such a time that Mary had. Remember that she sat at your feet and she heard your word. And Lord, may that be so for all of us. We pray that you'll bless us. We want to ask, Father, that we'll be those today that will rejoice over your word, even as those that find great spoil. So answer these our cries, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak to you for a few minutes on the theme of a promise of provision. I pray it will be an encouragement to your hearts as we enter into a new year together. That is really what we have here in this text that is before us. I think that that title sums up the verse very well, a promise of provision. Mr. Spurgeon, if you read his life story, he opened an orphanage in London. At the time of the opening of that orphanage, he got the stonemasons to put this very text upon the pillars of the door, the main door, as you entered into the orphanage itself. The reason he did that was this. Whenever Mr. Spurgeon thought of the great needs of the orphanage, that great institution, when he thought of the great needs day by day of all the children within it, he was encouraged as he meditated and as he pondered upon this promise from God's word. And I say to you, brethren and sisters, as we think of the days in which we live, very difficult days, many pressures upon us, days when prices are increasing, the markets are uncertain, no financial security for many, no job security. Perhaps as you come to the Lord's house today, you're afraid for the future. You're afraid for your own family, afraid for your children, perhaps even fears for the very work of God itself. All sorts of questions rising up in your heart and mind. You're asking, how will we be able to live? How will we get by? How will we be able to pay the bills? In reality, those practical matters are so important to each one from day to day. Well, here, brethren and sisters, is a promise that I want you to ponder upon for a little while. Because here's a promise to encourage your heart for this new year. Here's a promise that will encourage you for the way that lies ahead. Think carefully again of the words, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I want us just for a few minutes to think of the provision that the Lord promises to us here in this verse. You'll notice, first of all, the source of the provision. He says, my God. I want you to notice that Paul begins with the Lord. And there, brethren and sisters, he sets us a good example. Here's something that is vital. What he's saying to us is, when times are hard, when the future is uncertain, here's what you need to do. You need to look to the Lord. One of the brethren was telling us last week about Ivan Thompson. Some of you may remember Ivan, Baptist pastor, evangelist, died quite young from cancer. As a young man, when he was converted, he asked an older, more experienced believer for some advice in the Christian life. And this is simply what he said, O pilgrim bound for the heavenly land, never lose sight of Jesus. So I want to encourage you, brethren and sisters, in these days of uncertainty, look to the Lord. Paul's saying to these believers at Philippi, don't look to me, don't look to the church, don't even look to the government of the day. It is true, the Lord can use men, he can use institutions, and he will. But remember that ultimately, he's the one that provides for us. So what you need to do today as you gather in the Lord's house is get your eyes upon him. And I want to encourage you to do that through this message this morning. Remember, there are many things that we can do without in life. Many things that often we think are essential. Many things that the world thinks are essential. But there are many things we can do without, brethren and sisters. But remember this, never forget this. We cannot do without him. We cannot do without the Lord. And as you think of the Lord this morning, remember that he's a powerful God. The text says, my God shall supply. So I want to remind you that he's the Almighty. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. We sometimes use the word omnipotent. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The idea of that word omnipotent is there's no limits. No limits to the power of our God. Think of what Paul said to the Ephesians. He's able to do exceeding abundantly. See the build-up of the words, the strength of the statement. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And remember that our God is so powerful he can do miracles. He fed the 5,000 with just two little fishes and five loaves of bread. He fed Elijah at the brook Cherith with the ravens, bringing him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh again in the evening. So he's a powerful God, brethren and sisters. Ponder that for a moment or two today. And remember, he's still the same God. He will do the same for you. He will display his power for you as well in order to supply your every need. The text also tells us, not only is he a powerful God, he's a providing God. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. God is a giver. God is our supplier. Remember what Paul said when he was preaching on Mars Hill in Athens? He gives to all life and breath and all things freely to enjoy. Isn't that interesting? Just consider it carefully. The life you have, the breath you breathe, everything that you possess, it came to you from the hand of God. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the one that sees our circumstances, sees our extremity, sees our need. And more than sees, he's able to provide that need for us. And remember, brethren and sisters, he can provide in ways that we never think possible. Think of Elijah again, when he moved from Cherith to Zarephath. Remember that when he went to Zarephath, he was provided for by a widow, a woman that could hardly provide for herself. In fact, the scriptures tell us she was going out to gather just two sticks. She had just a little meal and a little oil. She was going to make her last meal. It was like the last supper for herself and her son. And yet that's the place. It was in that very home that the Lord provided for his servant. So the Lord can provide for you in places and in ways that you never think possible. There's a lovely story told about David Brainerd. He was the missionary to the Red Indians of North America. On one time when he was on a missionary journey, a great storm overtook him. The only place he could find shelter, refuge, was in a tree that had fallen. The trunk of that tree had been hollowed out. It's actually recorded for about 3 days. He took shelter in that hollowed out trunk of the tree. He was praying for the work of God in which he was involved, praying too the Lord would provide for him. And every day a little squirrel came, stood at the end of that trunk, stood there for a little while. And he testified that every time the squirrel left, it left a little pile of nuts behind it, just like Elijah there at the brook. The Lord can provide in ways that we never think possible. Do you know what we need to learn afresh, brethren and sisters? The greatness of our God and the greatness of his power. That's a vital lesson for us all. I want you never to forget that God is greater than all of our need. Your need may be great today. I don't doubt that for one moment. But what I want you to understand and grasp as we study the Lord's word today is he is far greater still than all of our needs. So there is the source of the provision. I want you to see as well the sureness of the provision, because the text says, my God shall supply all your need. Notice there's no uncertainty, no question. There's not a doubt about this provision. There may be uncertainty all around us. There is uncertainty in the financial markets, the price of food, the economy, great uncertainty in the political situation. Maybe great uncertainty for you personally in your life, your job, your business, your circumstances. Great uncertainty with regard to the future of the work of God. So much uncertainty. But remember, brethren and sisters, there's no uncertainty with God. No uncertainty with his provision or his promise. The words before you, the promise of God is sure. The Bible says they're yea and amen in Christ Jesus. That's emphasizing the certainty of the promise of Scripture. It's something you can trust, something you can depend upon. It's not a might be. It's not that he might provide or he'll do his best. We often say that when we're asked for help. The Lord's not saying he'll do his best or he'll try. The Lord says he shall supply all of your need. So he will provide for his people. It's sure, brethren and sisters. You know, the only uncertainty is in our hearts. It's our faith that wavers. James said we're to ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. But the reality is, if we're honest, we do waver. We do doubt. We are full of unbelief. We're like that man we read of in the Scriptures, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And what we need to pray is this, the prayer the Lord instructed his disciples to pray, increase our faith, especially in the promise of your word, the sureness of the provision. I want you to see as well the subjects of the provision. The text says, my God shall supply all your need. Think of the question, who is Paul speaking to here? Who is this provision actually for? I want to make it clear to you, brethren and sisters, it's not for everyone, and it's not for every Christian. And it's wrong for every Christian to think that they can claim this promise, because they can't. Maybe you've never realized that before. What I want to stress and press upon your hearts is this. This is a promise only for the giver. It's a promise only for those who give to God, give to God's work, and give faithfully, give generously. If you look back at verse 16, consider the verse in its context. He says to these Philippian believers, even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. So who is Paul speaking to here? He's speaking to those who were his liberal givers, those who were his faithful financial supporters, people that had repeatedly, even sacrificially, given to help and support Paul in his missionary endeavors. So I make it clear, as we consider the text this morning, this, brethren and sisters, is a promise for the giver. What he's saying is, as you have supplied my need by your generosity, in return for that, God will supply your needs. It's the law of the harvest. Remember, you reap what you sow. The New Testament says we're to give, but then the verse goes on to say, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and running over, will the Lord give into your bosom. So it's a promise for the giver, brethren and sisters. So the reality is this. If you're tight with your money, if you don't pay your tithe, if you don't support God's work, don't support God's servants, don't give to the missionary cause of the church, then you can't claim the promise that is found here in Philippians 4, verse 19. The subjects of God's provision. Notice in the fourth place the scope of the provision. The text says, all your need. Now just think of that for a moment. Think of the breadth of the promise here. All your need. J. Wilbur Chapman was a very famous Presbyterian evangelist, United States. On one occasion, he was pastoring a Presbyterian church. There had been a bereavement in his family. The church gave him some extended time off so that he could travel out west in the States, just have a little time of rest, so that he could have a time of to comfort his heart after the loss that they had sustained. Just before he left to go on that trip, one of the elders of the church called to see him, a little time of fellowship. They were standing at the door together as the elder was about to leave. This elder was actually a banker. And just as he was about to go out the door, he slipped a little bit of paper into Chapman's hand. Chapman looked down and opened the bit of paper. To his amazement, he found it was a blank check. He looked up at the banker. He said, "Do you mean to tell me you're giving me a blank check?" The banker said, "Yes, we didn't know what amount your travel expenses would come to, and we wanted you to have enough, sufficient, to cover all of your needs." So imagine that. Imagine somebody giving you a blank check. Do you know the most surprising thing about that story is Chapman never used the check that was given to him on his travels at that particular time. But I want you to see, brethren and sisters, you think of a blank check, because that's really what the Lord gives to us here. He says, all your need. There's no limit placed upon it. The words literally mean he'll fill to the full all of your need. Think of the widow in the Old Testament, widow of one of the prophets. She was in debt. The Bible says that the oil filled every vessel. And that's a picture of the meaning of this text. It's the same for us. God's provision will meet. God's provision will fill every need that we have. It will meet your financial needs. Think of all of those things that press in upon you from day to day. The food, the clothing, the fuel, the energy, all the expenses of life. God's provision will meet your financial needs. You know the sad thing, brethren and sisters, is that often when we think of this verse, Philippians 4:19, that's as far as our thoughts go. We only think about the Lord providing the money, providing the finances. I want you to know there's much, much more here. You think of your spiritual needs. Don't you need grace from day to day for all the circumstances, all the trials of life? We need the continual cleansing of the Savior's blood. We need guidance for all the great decisions, the big and small decisions of life. We need ministry, teaching of the Word of God. We need peace in our hearts amidst this troubled world. And above all of those things, we need the blessing of God upon our lives. So many spiritual needs. That's included in the text as well. Think of your physical needs today. Some amongst us, some in this congregation, are weak, sick, laid aside, experiencing pain and infirmity. They're in need of strength. They're in need of healing. Well, that's included in the text as well. Think of your emotional needs. Some amongst us are sad. You grieve. You hurt today. Perhaps experience bereavement. Perhaps because of a broken heart, you're downcast, you're depressed. You need to be comforted. You need to be lifted up. Your emotional needs are included in the text as well. Think of what we could call your mental needs. Don't we lack wisdom? We need wisdom from on high. We need understanding. We need the Lord to give us light for the path along which we walk. So I want you to see, brethren, and say, here's the scope of God's provision. He says all of your needs. Not some of them, not the most of them, not the smallest, not the easiest. He says he'll supply all of your need. Can I point out, notice the word carefully, it says your needs, not your greeds. There's a big difference between the two. We live in a very greedy age. Can affect us even as the Lord's people. Notice that word in verse 16 again. He says, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Isn't that interesting? Just the things that are necessary. Necessary for us to live. If we're honest, as we gather here today before the Lord, many of the things we want the Lord to give us, many of the things we want the Lord to provide for us, they're not needs, they're not necessities at all. It's good to see that, to have the discernment to recognize it. Many of the things we ask the Lord for, they're only the desires of a greedy and a covetous heart. And that's something we need to be very careful about, brethren and sisters. So here's the scope of the provision. There's one other thing, and that's the size of the provision. The text ends with the words, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We need to dwell very carefully on those words. Remember, it says of Mary, when she heard the report of the shepherds, she pondered all these things carefully in her heart. Well, we need to do the same, ponder these words very carefully. Mr. Spurgeon, when he preached in this text, said, the preacher may sit down now, for he cannot compass this part of the text. God's riches and glory. That, brethren and sisters, is beyond our, something that's beyond our thought, something that's beyond our comprehension. The Spanish ambassador once said to the French ambassador, my master's treasure house has no bottom. What he was referring to was the vast wealth of the Mexican mines that at that time was in the possession of the Spanish government. Well, brethren and sisters, that's the message here. Our master's treasure house has no bottom. There is a limit to what you can give. There is an end to what you can give. There is a limit even to what the government can give. Did you know that in Times Square in New York City, there's a display, and on that display, there's the actual figure of debt, the debt of the United States government. And a few years ago, they are continually updating the figure. And a few years ago, the figure got so big that they had to actually alter the display so that it could take figures in quadrillion. Million, billion, trillion, quadrillion. The debt of the American nation is so great. Mind-boggling figures. There's a limit even to what the government can give. But grasp it today, men and women. There is no limit to what our God can give. And I pray you'll be able to take that in as you ponder this text. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, spoke of unsearchable riches. He's speaking there about the blessings of the gospel, our spiritual riches. But that is true, too, when we think of what the Lord can do for us physically. He can give us physical riches and supply our needs in that regard, and it's unsearchable, brethren and sisters. The psalmist said, think of it, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Think of the clamor of the governments of the world sometimes go to war because of certain resources that they think will bring great wealth to their nations. Well, remember, it's his, the earth, it's the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. What that means is the fullness of the earth's resources, the fullness of the earth's wealth, it belongs to him. The psalmist said as well, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Don't you sometimes hear farmers boasting about how many cows they have, how many cattle, and so on? Remember, they're his. He's just lent them to you for a little while. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Harry Ironside, the American Bible teacher, told the story of a Bible college in the States that was in great need. And they did the right thing. They held a prayer meeting to pray the Lord would supply their need. A man in that prayer meeting said, Lord, he quoted that verse, you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Sell a few of your cattle and supply our need. They didn't realize one of the local cattle ranchers was in town that day selling a few of his cattle at the local market. He was a Christian, loved the Lord. He was praying the Lord would direct him what he would do with the tithe of the money that he had made that day. And the Lord laid that Bible college upon his heart. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. So here, men and women, is the size of God's riches, God's provision. And I want you to be encouraged as you leave the Lord's house today and as you go out to face another week. I want you to be encouraged to know that you can face the future. Whatever your circumstances, whatever the future holds, whatever the future brings, however great the need may be, and you can face the future for this reason, because God's provision for his people, it'll never end, and it will never be exhausted, never be exhausted. Let me close just with this thought. Mr. Moody, there's a little book that you can buy, the notes in Moody's Bible. He had a wide margin Bible that he used to study with. He often put something down in the margin. After he died, somebody took the book and typed up the notes. It's a very profitable little book full of gems. He took up the idea beside Philippians 4:19. He said this was a blank check. Took up that idea. This is how he sets it out. He said the firm, my God, it's a firm that will never go bankrupt. He said the promise, remember there's always a promise on the check. The promise is shall supply. The amount, maybe that's the first thing you look at when somebody gives you a check. The amount is all your need. The capital, you need a wee bit of money in the bank if you're going to write a check. When I had a younger brother, as many of you know, that died when he was 17, he would ask my mother a few times for something. Mommy would say, we can't afford that. His reply would be, just write a check, Mommy. Just write a check. He thought he didn't need to have the money in the bank. Just write a check. That's how you would pay for it. So there's the capital. His riches. So ponder that, brethren and sisters. The address of the bank. Don't you need to know where to go if you need a bit of help? Well, the address of the bank is in glory. And then the signature. No good having a check if there's no signature on it. George Bernard Shaw, you know, the famous playwright, he always paid his bills with a check because the check with his signature on it was worth far more. Didn't matter what the amount was, if it had his autograph on it, it was worth far more than any amount that he ever wrote. So nobody ever cashed the checks that he gave to them when he was paying his bills. You need a signature on the check. And the signature on this check is the most precious, most blessed ever found, the name of Christ Jesus. So brethren and sisters, here's a blank check, Philippians 4:19. The Lord gives to you today. And all that's left for you to do is this, by faith, to claim it and endorse it. I'm old enough to remember the days when somebody could give you a check and you could take it into the garage or into the shop, and if you signed your name on the back of it, they would give you back in cash the amount that was written upon it. So I want you to do that with this check. Claim the check. Sign your name to it. Claim it and endorse it personally. Not just this week, but if the Lord spares you, right throughout this year and in coming days. The promise of provision, brethren and sisters. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I pray the Lord will bless his word, make it a blessing to every heart today.